morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 11th. I'm J.E. Skeets. And alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Gosh, I'm excited for this one.
What's up, Tassie? We got the Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-yo.
Hey-yo.
The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last, certainly not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like the video. Comment on the video. Share the video.
If you don't like this video, a guy on a bike doing a basketball show, what are we waiting for?
I'm legit tired already. We're like 1 minute in.
It's been a minute.
Send your questions in. Email them in to nodunks@theathletic.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at No Dunks Inc. Yes, I am finally getting to paying off one of my pick-up losses. And my punishment, I guess, here today is to do Peloton classes all show long.
Not an ad.
It's not an ad. Yeah, what?
Incredibly not an ad. I've done a show on the treadmill before. You did a show on like an elliptical before, yep. But we've never done the old bike here.
Going through all of the exercise equipment. The people in the stream team are asking, Skeets.
Yeah.
What's the helmet for?
Safety first.
Obviously.
I've never done one of these, so I'm a little worried I was going to fall off and hurt my head on the ping pong table here. No, it's just to make me look like more of a jackass, I guess. Also, we decided for Trey to bring in the helmet for me. It was a little too big for me.
Apparently, I'm the only one that rides a bike around here.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you were the only one kind enough to bring in a helmet, so thank you. So, JD, should I just fire up a class here? Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Christine's got a 30-minute 90s pop ride going. Let's get in there.
If you want to be my biker.
Oh, here she is. Hi, Christine. Can she see me? Hi. Where's your helmet?
Not very safe.
I guess we don't really need the volume.
Somebody high-fived you already on the left there.
Oh, yeah. I think my account name is Skeetsy.
Skeetsy.
You like that? Yeah, I threw a Y on the end for
nice.
You.
Nice. Well, someone will be able to definitely find you then. I'm sure someone else is pelotoning right now. Is that what you do? You're pelotoning?
I don't really
biking,
know.
Working out? What is it?
Yeah, thanks for the high five. Four arthritis kids high-fived me. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. So, I'll be doing this all show long while I try and take us through the actual podcast here. We got lots to talk about. We're going to get to the games. We're going to get to some trade rumors. That's what we're going to start with here. But yes, comment away. Like the way the video.
Look at those pumps going, man.
I'm not kidding. This is really uncomfortable. I am not a bike guy. I'm not built for a bike. I have the boniest ass in the world. And this is already super uncomfortable.
Maybe you need a towel under your butt. Forget the bike helmet.
I'm not kidding, man. This is not fun. All right, let's do this, Christine. But guys, yeah, let's get into it.
Come on,
trade
Christine.
Trade rumors. Hey, do I stand up? What do I do?
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Christine, what do you think about this rumor?
So Shams Charania of The Athletic, he had his Inside Pass notebook there yesterday. He had updates from around the NBA with trade talks sort of heating up. I want to get your opinion, guys, on some of these rumors that Shams is throwing out there. First one, John Collins and Cam Reddish for Ben Simmons. We briefly touched on it yesterday, Tass, but what do you think about this?
Some juicy names in there. I think the Atlanta Hawks should do something like this to try and take the next level. I think they should trade John Collins and Cam Reddish because I think it raises their ceiling to have Ben Simmons on their team. I'm sure Hawks fans out there right now are saying, no. They love John Collins. They just signed him to a huge 5-year deal, and Cam Reddish looks like he's got all the potential in the world. But those guys, again, potential and solid player. I think Ben Simmons could raise their ceiling. And what I just said about those two guys in Collins and Cam Reddish leads me to believe that the Sixers wouldn't do this deal. Because Cam Reddish, yeah, he's got a lot of potential, but he's kind of on that El Tizo team, has shown so many great flashes. But are you going to pair him with Joel Embiid and say, this is our team going forward, Joel? This can win you a championship? I think that's risky. And John Collins is sort of the same as Al Horford, what they tried with the Sixers there a couple of years back. Not an incredible three-point shooter, but extremely solid. Does his work sort of from the mid-range in. Would kind of get in Embiid's way. And an extremely hard worker, but at the same time doesn't really give them the ball handler that they need. I'm a fan of this, though, from the Hawks side. Even though it's a risk, but I think it's a risk you'd be willing to take.
I'm 100% in on this. Apparently, there was a little bit more reporting from Brian Windhorst and Mark Spears over at ESPN that the 76ers would like to be able to work Tobias Harris into this deal as well. And the Hawks are like, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to go for that. I can't go for that. No can do. But the general idea of this year, John Collins and Cam Reddish for Ben Simmons, I'm with you, Tess. It seems to be a potential ceiling raiser for the Hawks. They've really struggled this year. They're down to 12th in the Western the Eastern Conference, and we know it's basically because they don't play any defense. Ben Simmons, offense is not his strong point. Mm-hmm. Defense is, though. He's going to be playing defense, and I don't know. A lot of the question with the Hawks comes down to, can Clint Capela get back to the level he was playing at last year? I think him falling off has really left them struggling from a defense standpoint. Ben will bring the defense. John Collins, I don't think he was on the good Gord team, but he's a good Gord, whereas Ben Simmons can be a better Ben, if you will. So I would take a chance there. The Hawks need to try something, I think. And I think that there was a little bit of a mirage last year, them going to the conference finals with the way everything played out with matchups and injuries, that sort of thing. So they've taken a step back this year. I don't know that Ben Simmons instantly puts them back in conference finals mode, but he gets them closer, I do think.
I like bits of this deal. If Cam Reddish, absolutely, he's available if you want him. If I'm the Hawks, I'm not prepared to give up on John Collins just yet because of this reason. In the playoffs last season, John Collins was very good for the Hawks. Ben Simmons was not very good in the playoffs for the Philadelphia 76ers. He wasn't as bad as the final outcome for that Game 7. He had good moments. We saw him down at the Fortress in Game 3. Really, really good. But that's the concern for me. If you can get Ben Simmons without giving up John Collins, and again, say it's Cam Reddish, say it's Hunter, Kevin Huerter, draft pick, whoever, if the Sixers are willing to go there first, then maybe there's something. I wouldn't throw John Collins in until it gets to the point of, like, we're not doing this deal without him. And if you're the Sixers, you're probably not doing it
right
without John Collins. Because I think John Collins is very good. I think he's one of those guys whose stats don't tell the full story about what he can do. I think he understands. He makes big plays. He makes big monumental plays, and that's what he did a lot for the Hawks last season. You know, grabbing key offensive rebounds, defending well, hitting three, you know, finishing at the rim, doing all those little things that don't necessarily give you a 25-12 guy, but in the right moment, he's at the right spot. So there's something there. I think there's something. I think you maybe need a third team. But if I'm the Hawks, like I mentioned, those other guys first, throw those names out there. If you can get a nibble and you can improve your defense with Ben Simmons, then maybe there's something there.
Yeah. It's risky for the Hawks, no doubt, to be trading for Ben Simmons, who is not great, but you can just improve your defense immediately. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Their defense is horrendous, and I think it elevates their second star that Trae Young is looking for.
Right.
John Collins is very good, very solid, but is he ever going to be a second star? I'm not quite sure, even though he wants to be, and that's sort of the impetus of Shams Charania's point, is that John Collins isn't happy. And then it's not necessarily that they're talking John Collins for Ben Simmons, but I think Shams kind of gets there. John Collins, not happy. Ben, right. Not happy. This sort of makes sense. And maybe this is the type of level of player that the Sixers are going to have to get.
Yeah, that to me is the ultimate question here for Morey and the Sixers. Does Embiid need just more good players around him? Like good players, like John Collins, Cam Reddish. Or do they really think they need, like, a secondary elite guy to pair with Embiid? Now, I'm not sure what the right answer is, because Embiid looks like a monster, and we'll get to
right
him
now, yeah,
in his game last night. I'm exhausted. Apologies for the mouth breathing. I'm already a mouth breather, and it's brutal here today. But that's the question, I think, for Morey and the Sixers, Lee.
Yeah.
Like, another elite secondary player that Morey waits on? Or good players like the Hawks have.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously waiting for that, you know, Lillard, that Bradley Beal, who may or may not be available. I don't think those guys are available right now with what the Sixers have, because if you know, if the Sixers, if you call the Sixers,
Robin left or right,
and they're saying, all right, we'll do a deal, but you've got to take Tobias Harris as well. That could be a killer, not only because, you know, Tobias Harris is a frustrating player, but he's also got a massive contract. So if you're trying to get Simmons and Tobias Harris's contract off, That's a tough sell.
Right.
With your OCD, don't you feel like you have to high five those people on?
Well, I don't even know how to do it.
Just press the hands.
I can't believe
tap
we
the hand.
Tap them. Oh, yeah.
They're dying for you.
Hey, I got you.
Oh, yeah.
I got you make your joy. I got you Lawrence D.
Peloton is a family.
This is amazing. I thought, I don't know what I thought.
Where
I thought we would stop every once in a while.
Where is he?
Why?
I don't know.
It's a workout.
I mean, it's like you hit a hill in Atlanta. You don't got to pedal. You just cruise on down for a second. Hey, you get your wind.
Yeah, but if you stop, you're going back the other way. You got to keep pedaling, dog.
Lee, what's up?
Where is she? Where is she? Like,
I don't know.
In a studio?
Yeah, studio in New York. Yeah.
All right.
Are you okay? Yeah. Christine, blink if you need help.
Tell Christine she's she's on YouTube right now, whether she likes it or not.
Wow, I mean, I hope so. Okay.
Skates, you got it at 50, the resistance. What? That's not pretty high for...
Oh, you think I should, like, make it a little easier?
You might want to lower it a little bit.
Oh, but, okay.
You go up and down. You go up and down with the resistance.
I thought that they were in charge of that. Oh, now I'm rolling.
Yeah, yeah. You're going down the hill.
Okay, sorry, Lee.
Yeah.
Kings, Blazers, Wolves, Pacers, Hawks. Who gets Ben Simmons, or is it none of those teams? Just make your call.
None of those teams.
Wow. Yeah. Who's the wild card then?
I don't know. This is the weirdest situation for a star who's literally just sitting out, and Daryl Morey is prepared to play the long game. So I'm not sure. He hasn't really been linked definitively with one of those teams. You know, Daryl Morey wants the big hitter. He's the big game hunter. He doesn't just want the draft picks and the good pieces. He wants the big fish.
Right.
And until that sort of materializes, which it may or may not, I think Ben Simmons is honestly staying put, even if that means beyond the trade deadline.
Right, and so you're saying all those teams I mentioned outside of the Blazers and the possibility of blowing it up with moving Lillard, they don't have the...
They don't.
The big game that you're looking for out there.
Okay. No, and as I've mentioned already, Daryl Morey knows that he holds the leverage as far as Ben Simmons is a young star under contract. So he's not forced to do anything. If he was, he would have done it by now, I think. So he's basically just sitting there, arms crossed, saying, I can wait this out as long as anybody else wants to.
He can't wait that long, mate. Come on. Embiid is too good right now. He's having an MVP caliber season. We're seeing him put up numbers every single night. The Sixers are starting to play a little bit better. They're up to fifth in the Eastern Conference. You're not wasting a year with Joel Embiid, a guy who misses time every single year. They got to do something this year.
Yeah, but I like I say, I just, there hasn't been even, from what I've seen, like secondary talks with anybody right now. He is waiting. He's waiting because he doesn't want it to be like, okay, well, why didn't you just make that trade earlier in the season? He wants to prove that, like, I was waiting because I got a Lillard, because I got a Beal, because I got, you know, whoever that other big name is. Otherwise, it's like, well, just make that other deal. There's other deals out there to be made.
Sure. But trades come out of nowhere quite often. Mm. So even though there's not a lot of smoke, it seems like we're a month away from the trade deadline, which, I don't know, feels like this is the longest year, but it also feels like it's short.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming real quick. John Collins can't be traded until January 15th, so we got a few days here before he can be dealt. And then, 4 weeks of Daryl Morey maybe picking his best trade that has been proposed to him. And I wonder, as you said, Skeets, the Blazers situation with Damian Lillard now not going on this six-game road trip. He's going to be out for the foreseeable future. Yeah, they haven't been linked definitively with one team, but maybe they're a little bit closer. Maybe the Blazers are a little bit closer to doing something there because, again, Dame is in his 30s.
Mm.
He wasn't extremely happy in the offseason. This season has gone horribly, and they have a shot at the 10th seed, but maybe that sort of pushes him into renewing what he said in the offseason, which was basically, I don't want to be here,
right,
essentially.
Right. Well, Morey wants to play the long game with Ben Simmons, but I would like to play the short game with this podcast. So let's move on to our next topic.
That's why I was just stretching it out.
Yeah.
Christine's only got 5 minutes on the clock, but then we'll get you in another class.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I'm falling down the leaderboard here. I'm about to fall out of the top 100, I think, or something. I don't know. I don't really get these numbers. But these people are done. Like, they're almost done with this class. Mm-hmm. I got another hour to go. I got to dip into other classes.
I got
to
say,
you got to stack, bro.
Yeah, I
gotta, it's all about stacking on
pace
Peloton.
Myself a little.
You're
bit
in the thousands.
What's this
on
thing?
The left.
What's that thing on the right?
Your exertion.
My exertion's only 101.
But you started late as well.
Okay.
Yeah, let's pick it up.
All right, I'll try to. Okay, next one, guys. Lakers, Knicks, Mavericks, Hornets. Among teams interested in Miles Turner, again, this coming from Shams and his inside pass. Lee, what team or deal do you think makes the most sense?
Well, look, I think you first have to look at what Miles Turner brings to a team, and that's defense. It's shot blocking, it's rim protection. That's his strength. He's been an incredibly consistent player throughout his career. His numbers that he's putting up basically from his rookie season to where he is now, very similar in terms of his points and his rebounds. He can spread the floor. He shoots the three-pointer okay for a big guy, about 35% on 1.5 makes a game. So he's the sort of guy who's a modern big, not a great rebounder for a guy his size. So teams that I think could use some extra presence inside, I mean, the team I've pointed out most this season, I think, is the Hornets.
Yeah.
They've got Plumlee there as their big. Now, he's okay in a secondary role, coming off the bench to give you 10 or 15 minutes, but when he's your starting center, I think that's not a good sign for as far as how far you can go into the playoffs. So I think the Hornets is the best team for him. The problem here is what the Hornets have to entice the Indiana Pacers to making a deal.
Yeah.
Obviously, LaMelo Ball is off the table. Miles Bridges is probably off the table as well, I think, largely, but he would be their second most intriguing piece there. So then it comes down to draft picks and assets and whether or not the Pacers are like, okay, we just want that, rather than then picking up a guy like PJ Washington. Not bad. But again, if you're the Pacers, does that really move the needle all that much for you? Not at all,
no.
Really.
No.
So, you know, at all. Terry Rozier.
Nobody wants a Chevy Trax. Okay?
No, exactly.
I have one.
Yeah.
Nobody looks at my car and goes, oh, I love that car.
So, that's the team that I think is. Look, if he goes to the New York Knicks, I think he's good to go along, but they've got Mitchell Robinson. Now, if Mitchell Robinson, who is an injury-prone guy, is missing, then it's great to have Turner there. If they're both healthy, though, there's a bit of overlap. Same with the Lakers when Anthony Davis is healthy. I don't think you want him and Turner out on the court at the same time. It's great if you can have Miles Turner coming off the bench, but I don't think that's where he wants to be right now in his career. So, you know, the Mavericks, they could certainly use him as well. Problem as well with them is, though, what do the Pacers want from Dallas? I mean, is it someone like a Josh Green who's been good? He's been good the last couple of games, but so far in his career, it hasn't been a whole lot there to if you're the Pacers, to go like, that's where we can look to the future. So I think somehow the Hornets have to make it happen. They would certainly need a third team, though, to help facilitate it.
I think the Hornets is the one that makes the most sense. Talking about young assets, going back to the Pacers, this is what they're looking for. James Bouknight is probably the name that makes the most sense to me, and then you wrap a package around that guy. That's the way it's looks like it's going to play out. But what gets me going a little bit more is the New York Knicks, potentially, because like John Collins, Miles Turner recently complained about not being showcased enough. So Miles Turner plus Manhattan, oh baby, that makes me a little bit excited to see what Miles Turner wants to show. And there's packages out there. If the Knicks want to overpay, a package centered around Emmanuel Quickley could work if the Knicks want to pay that price. Right. That's what it comes down to. A package of Quickley, Nerlens Noel, and Kemba Walker, essentially to make the numbers work, because Quickley is paid only $2 million. Could work. So from a logical standpoint, Hornets brings them to another level, but from a just a tantalizing perspective, right, give me the Knicks and Miles Turner.
Okay, Trey, what do you think?
Mavs or Hornets for me. Kind of similar scenarios where they've got the playmaker there in either Luka or LaMelo, and they wouldn't look nice with a stretch big alongside next to either of those guys. It's basically the Porzingis next to Doncic factor, right? You want that unicorn out there who can block shots and shoot threes. The Pacers are not getting back their next franchise superstar in any deal for any of their players they trade, especially Miles Turner. The way they get their superstars, maybe trading for a Chevy Trax who doesn't move the needle. They go from the fifth worst record in the league to the third worst record in the league. Then they're drafting top three. Then they actually get a franchise changer. So to me, as long as you're getting picks back, players do not matter for the Pacers.
The Lakers, why is their name keep getting brought up?
They're the Lakers. Same with the Knicks.
I mean, it's so silly. At least the Knicks have draft capital and like some enticing players that you could in theory put together in a package. The Lakers have who? Who would you offer besides
really
maybe Talen Horton-Tucker, I guess? And then they don't have a pick until like 2026, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are they even included in this potential for Miles Turner? It's sort of silly.
No, he's out of their league.
Yeah.
Workout complete?
Oh, hey, good class.
All right.
Well done.
Next one.
Good class. Next one. So what do I do now? Oh, look at what? Why is she doing that? Is that good for the lactic acids in the legs?
It's called stretching, Skeets. Oh, okay. You might want to try it.
I think stretching's overrated. You know,
Skeets,
thoughts on
Skeets
that.
Will run 13
top left
miles.
Exit.
No
exit.
Okay, yeah, how did I
top
do?
Top left.
Oh, ooh, yeah, overall rank. I did start late in the class, so maybe that hurt me, but oh, yeah, 1,127th out of about 1,400 people. It's pretty brutal.
Don't compare yourself to anybody. Yeah. That's all right. You did you.
Okay, good. I like that. Did you see this? I don't know if you can see it on the screen. It says I'm in the Classic Factory.
There we go.
Location.
People were asking if we had this hooked up to power the Classic Factory.
Oh!
That'd be pretty cool.
That's a great idea.
Somebody's got to be pedaling at all times, but very sustainable.
I could power the heat in here. That's why it's been so cold when nobody's on the bike. Been freezing. Now we're soaking wet in here because it's so hot. Because I got the energy going. Oh, I got some more high fives to give out. Thank you, Kirsten Spokes. Thank you, I'm Perfectly Me. I love that.
I love
body
it.
Body confidence. Hashtag Sonic Boom. Is there a hashtag No Dunks? You guys said there was.
Yes, yes, there is.
Oh, excellent. Excellent stuff. Okay, well, I figure out my next class here, and I will keep pedaling. Don't you worry. Final piece from Shams Inside Pass. Well, actually, final pieces, because they're sort of smaller. Cavs interested in Caris LeVert. Okay. Teams expressing interest in John Wall. Okay. And then several teams pursuing Jeremy Grant on the Pistons, including the Wizards, Knicks, Blazers, and you guessed it, the Los Angeles Lakers. No one knows why. Anyway, of those three that I just threw at you, what's the most intriguing?
Oh, they're all intriguing. Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen getting back together finally? How exciting could that be for the Cleveland Cavaliers? I also like to see that Jeremy Grant is apparently going to be the most desired after player at the trade deadline this year. Seems to be the position type, and obviously he's got the gold medal with Team USA. We saw what he did with Denver in the playoffs, and he had that great start to the season last year with Detroit where he looked like a legitimate franchise sort of player. But the one that really interests me, somebody take a chance on John Wall already. I feel like the Herlihy boy from Saturday Night Live. Won't you just let him be on your team? I feel like John Wall has become underrated at this point. He played quite a bit last season, 20 points per game, 7 assists. The percentages were not great. 40 from the field, 31 from 3, 75 at the line. It's not all NBA John Wall you're getting, but the guy's still going to be able to create some open three-pointers in the corner. He's going to change the game in the transition game. He's a fast guy still, maybe not the fastest guy in the league anymore. Maybe he's not your starting point guard, but he could definitely be a sixth man who would be really solid. And a team like Dallas, again, could maybe take a look at John Wall. Who knows what it's going to take and what he will do with his giant contract. Mm-hmm. But somebody needs to have John Wall play for their team. That's a good player that's just sitting there ready to go.
Any team that rings John Wall's bell? That could...
Dallas to me. Dallas needs to beef up their sauce. all around. They need some more sauce. They need some hearty potatoes on the inside, and they need some warm broth on the outside.
That's a bigger need than Miles Turner.
I think it's the contract that's the only thing that's stopping John Wall from playing right now, because no one wants him to opt into that next season at $47 million, which is understandable. No one, you know, they're unsure of what you're getting out of him and how productive he can be. But he's going to have to sit down and just say, all right, I'm going to have to give back so much money.
Count
if I
my losses.
Play.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only way. That's the only way. I agree. Tillman Fertitta and Houston Rockets came up with that concession hot dog, mac cheese, bacon, and Fruit Loops. Maybe they're making enough money to say,
God,
hey, John
Wall.
I would
love one of those right now. Fruit Loops, hot dogs, mac and cheese.
Yeah, maybe your, bacon, maybe your handle can be Bikes for Fruit Loops.
Right? Oh, that's not bad. help me pick a class, JD. Give them the shot. You guys want me to do 20 minutes of hip-hop with Hannah? Maybe an EDM ride? Shout out to the Whiddler with Charlotte. A little 15-minute high-intensity ride there with me. Like, what do you guys like? There's other ones, too. There's tons. Oh, my God.
I mean, high intensity would be hilarious, but I don't know if you want to do that early on. It's only 35 minutes in.
You want to do this one with Mila?
Sure.
All right. It's only 15 minutes. We got still an hour to go. All right. Let's start this bad. Whoops. Start this bad boy. Sorry, JD. I didn't give you any volume.
That's right.
I don't know. It's not even working. I think I broke it, JD.
You broke it already.
Original mix. Start. Let's go, man. I just want a bike. What's up, Mila? Let's go. High five me.
You gotta dig deep, Skeets.
Ich freue mich riesig, dass hier wieder Leute sind. Wir werden was krachen lassen, ja?
Mine a German class?
Yeah, you definitely did pick a foreign language class.
Shout out to my German No Ducks fans. Let's get a sweat on. Okay.
This one's for Franz Wagner.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't expect that. This is international, this thing here. All right. Any more thoughts on Sham's inside pass there, Lili, as we wrap this segment up?
No, I mean, we've got about a month to go. So I think in the next week or two is when you'll start getting a little bit more. But it really doesn't go crazy until the day of anyway, does it? The trade deadline, that's when it goes completely nuts. But I think the Kings are definitely making a move, and I do think the Blazers are making something. Exactly what, I'm not sure, but we'll get to the Blazers in a minute. But if you are the front office, you saw a really good performance from their young core last night, where maybe you're starting to think, okay, well, this is, you know, we're not going to be competing here soon, but we've got assets in Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic. Maybe if we move on from that era and start younger with these younger guys, maybe that's the direction of the franchise.
That's so interesting with Lillard and McCollum. They have two huge chips that they could play if they really wanted to, but both are out. And so, if I'm McCollum, as I said yesterday, and I want to stay in Portland, I'm going to continue to stay out.
Just stay in Portland.
I'm good. He's got a baby on the way, and he's got the collapsed lung that he should be coming back from soon. But if he does come back, he's a huge chip. Lillard, also a huge chip. I'm not sure if they decide to go that direction. But obviously, huge, huge guys that they could move. Jeremy Grant is that next level that everybody wants, a solid, solid piece everybody wants, because they don't necessarily have to give up a ton for him.
Right.
And Trey went through the credentials there. Remember in the bubble, he was the third guy behind Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and he was balling. Then he went to the Pistons, and he played at that essentially same level, but got even better efficiency-wise. He could be that perfect third guy on a team. But the names of teams that Shams threw out there doesn't really seem to fit to me. The Wizards, Knicks, Blazers, and Lakers for a guy that's like the third level guy. I mean, you're number three, really. The Lakers, would love him, but what are they going to give up for him? I could see the Wizards being able to package something for him if they decide maybe Rui Hachimura is not in their future, or Denny Avdia to get Jeremy Grant. But he doesn't really take them to the next level. But there's got to be a team out there that's like a top four team that says, oh my goodness, Jeremy Grant's a very good player, and what he did with the bubble could really help us out.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, though, we will get into last night's games. Pistons picked up a quality win there. Cade Cunningham having his probably best game of his young career, and we'll get into some of the close games. But first, let me tell you about Peloton. Oh. No, kidding.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
How are we doing on the liquids there, Skeet?
Well,
people are asking.
Yeah,
electrolytes?
I got my Scotty sipping water bottle there. Shout out to Scotty. Getting quite low. That could be an issue. All right. So, just an update there for you, Lily. I know you like watching my screen.
I do, yeah.
Currently in 53rd spot in this quick class.
Out of how many?
I don't know.
Don't say 53.
No. There seems to be much more than
okay.
that.
Okay.
217. Hey, not bad.
Hey, you got misstep in your sights, man. Yeah.
All right, guys. Games from last night. Let's touch on a few of these. Let's start with Terry Rozier and LaMelo Ball leading the Hornets to back-to-back wins versus the Bucks. Tass, exciting game down the stretch, but what do you think?
It was a blast down the stretch. I talked about Wesley Matthews yesterday getting a guaranteed contract and made a huge bucket, 35 seconds left, and then the 35-year-old had to guard the 20-year-old in LaMelo Ball on the other side. That's just a big gap when you think about it. 20 to 35, and he's trying to guard LaMelo, and the Hornets do a nice job of isolating LaMelo because they got shooters on the other side, and LaMelo made a beautiful move. Fantastic move. The guy makes some gorgeous stuff happen. He scored. Bucks win, beating the Bucks two games in a row. Now, this is a weird time of year. I don't know if you guys think the same thing, but you're seeing a lot of teams, I guess, establish who they were, like the Bucks in the first month and a half, 2.5 months now. And then you know, there's some weird things happening throughout the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo took a technical free throw for the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday.
Yeah.
Weird stuff happening in the NBA. So I wouldn't put too much stock into it. That being said, LaMelo Ball, what a gorgeous third quarter he had there. An incredible third quarter to turn it on. And we talk about Ja Morant as a one-of-one, one-of-a-kind. LaMelo Ball also worth the price of admission because he's just such a unique talent. And he is taking it to another level in this second year. You can feel comfortable with him shooting the ball. Wherever he is handling the ball, if they get a little bit defense with these Miles Turner rumors, this could be a legitimate team for the next couple of years.
Did you say turn it on?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, buddy, right. Go.
There you go.
When you say
go.
Turn it on,
oh,
in
I don't
German.
Really like standing.
Whoa.
Oh, you broke my leg. Sorry. Yeah. Go on.
You do need the helmet.
Yeah, I do. I nearly just broke my kneecap there. Turns out you don't want to stop when you're locked into these bad boys.
Ah.
Which is what I tried. Okay, Lee, sorry.
Glistening. Yeah, no, just it was a good back-to-back win by the Hornets. You know, we talk about how tough it is to beat the same team twice in a row, but that's what the Hornets did. And I thought last night Rozier and LaMelo Ball kept just penetrating, getting into the paint. That Bucks defense on the perimeter wasn't very good last night, and then the Bucks turned it over themselves a lot on the offensive end. They couldn't close this game. You sort of felt that the Bucks were coming, a run was coming. They couldn't hit a three. They made some sloppy turnovers, and for the Hornets, they just sort of held firm there. So pretty impressive stuff there from Charlotte to do it against Milwaukee, who was missing Drew Holiday. You got Giannis, though, so there's no excuses. Not that they made any. Of course, Big Darvin Ham was on the side as well. Their Budenholzer's out at the moment.
Big Darvin.
Yeah, Big Darv. So, good stuff from Charlotte.
Well, I mean, Ham sucks, so no surprise. but the Drew Holiday absence was huge, I thought. That's how you see LaMelo going off. That's how you see Terry Rozier going off. 7 turnovers for Middleton, 6 for Giannis. Those are two areas where Drew Holiday is helping big time. But yeah, this was great from the Hornets to get this win. They've been playing really well, been playing some pretty solid defense. I mean, they're all the way up to 27th now. If they start talking about 21st, they could win a couple of games in a playoff series, I do think.
And we've said this a million times before on the show, but Hornets play-by-play man Eric Collins, national treasure. This guy, he dropped 2 beauties again last night.
Yeah.
Beauties! Which is what my nuts are going to not be after biking on this.
Got a nice bluish shoe.
But
to
yeah,
him.
Like when they were catching fire in the third quarter, he was losing his goddamn mind, Lee.
Yeah, of course.
Like this
he was.
Is a game in January in the third quarter against the Bucks who are missing guys, and like he's going crazy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Eric Collins on a Peloton?
Or leading a class?
It'd be amazing. Yeah. Just
wanted
to add that.
No, he's great. He's very entertaining. He's got great energy there, and he and Dell are just a good complement to each other.
Yes.
Dell's a lot quieter, a bit more serious. Eric does get caught up in the moment, but that's great. That's what you want for a team like the Hornets. They're a fun watch.
Wow, the instructor was just going really slow, and then she just picked it up. She is standing.
She is standing.
I mean, I gotta ski butt cam here. I mean, I would try the standing again, but I did nearly destroy my knee there. Mm. I guess you gotta sort of like slowly just sit back down and keep pedaling. I don't know. This is the first time I've ever been on a bike.
I was gonna say,
this is like a way to learn. This is like, what about Bob when he goes sailing? I'm sailing! I'm biking!
They didn't have bikes in Stratford?
Biking. No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
All the bikes went to Australia first.
Yeah, we used to ride bikes a lot in Australia. It was great.
Wow. Cool.
What a
cool
brag. Okay, next game. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum carry the Celtics over the Pacers 101-98 in the overtime victory. Trey.
Hey, Skeets.
Yo.
You know what goes great with a side of beans?
Yeah, beef.
Roast beef, JD. Roll that beautiful beef footage.
DeMontis Sabonis had 23 rebounds. He was beefing in bean town. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
23 boards for DeMontis Sabonis last night, his second big beef of the season. He only had one of those rebounds in overtime, so I'm calling this a legit beef, but a very ugly beef. Oh, you saw a lot of those rebounds. Rick Carlisle in the postgame said that DeMontis Sabonis got hit in the face a few times. Which he did. He also added 11 points and 11 assists. People were asking, what's a triple-double with beef called? I don't know. You tell me. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, an ugly beef for an ugly game. Friend of the program, Tall Hat Chief, said, the only thing interesting in this one was the beef watch. Both teams finished shooting under 40%. Many rebounds to be had. Jaylen Brown had 26 points, 7 of them in overtime, added an assist as well. Jason Tatum went for 24. He had a bunch of big shots in the fourth. Game-time bucket with a little under 2 seconds left to send it to OT. And I thought the Celtics also got pretty solid contributions from Josh Richardson, who had a nice bucket with a minute left, a big closeout at the end of the fourth quarter. And Robert Williams had a humongous block in overtime, played a really good game. But to me, the play that completely defined this game, 5 seconds left in overtime. The Celtics are up 4. Pacers are inbounding the ball. And the Celtics foul Justin Holiday shooting a 3. Just let him shoot it.
Yeah.
A sloppy, ugly foul. So he goes to the line, makes the first, makes the second. The Pacers are down 2. All Justin Holiday has to do is miss. They get the rebound. They got the big beefer out there himself. He can put it right back in. He made the intentional miss.
Whoops.
That's the kind of night it was. Celtics versus Pacers.
Yeah.
Even when they're trying to miss, they make it. When they're trying to make it, they miss. Ugly all around, but at least we got a beef.
Yeah, this was not a fun game.
This was a game. I was like, when Lee said this was a game, this is the exact kind of thing he was talking about.
I think the NBA sometimes should just say, we're having a draw in this game. No overtime. No one deserves to win. No one deserves to lose. Let's just end it at a draw, because no one on Twitter last night was like, yes, overtime. Everyone's like, you've got to be kidding me, because the Pacers fought back. And again, Tatum now twice. He did against the Knicks last week where he hit a big shot for his team, but it was just like, oh god, just end this one. No one should watch. It was like 81-81 in the fourth, and it was like, what year are we playing basketball?
Not good.
Tass, I did think of you watching this game though, because you talked about the Celtics for most part of this season refusing to make the extra pass. Like, they have a good shot, but let's get a great shot.
Yeah.
And Jaylen Brown did do that one, I thought, to Grant Williams in the corner.
In overtime.
In overtime.
It was big.
Yeah.
That was a big shot. It was odd to see them get there though, because late with that minute left in the fourth quarter, they still play that isolation ball. That Josh Richardson shot was a big shot, but Josh Richardson ended up going kind of one-on-one and buried a shot from the mid-range, which is weird offense for the Boston Celtics. It's a team that it's a Jekyll and Hyde. Sometimes you get good possession, sometimes you do not. And so, yes, this was hideous. I felt comfortable for once changing the channel to watch the college football championship.
Oh, go Dogs!
Go Dogs!
Unfortunately, go Dogs.
Because it was a bad night of just ball on both ends there. Some of the highlights that Trey just showed in the Big Beefer were DeMontis Sabonis throwing up the ball, collecting a rebound,
right,
putting it up again, and missing.
Yeah.
Yep. Congratulations.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. Because yes, this was a bad. This was a bad night, bad game. The Celtics are a 500 team, and the Pacers are a weird one. And Lance Stephenson kind of went ISO as well at the end and buried a couple of shots. This is such a both really weird teams. they don't seem to be progressing in any way. Unlike Skeets, who progressed throughout that can't. What happened?
Well, they know they're doing that stretch again.
Oh yeah,
this is the Peloton stretch. Yeah, let me try it. Well, I always forget I can't stop.
Gotta check those hammies.
Oh, I shouldn't stop. I shouldn't actually stop. This is like running a marathon. The worst thing you can ever do is actually just stop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She's going backwards there for a second. Oh, whoops. She's doing ham, getting a hamstring. I did want to point out though, you're talking about stopping.
Yeah.
I very much appreciate you have not stopped while the camera was on us at all. No. And Greg Norris pointed this out. Skeets better not have taken a break during that video.
Oh, fuck you, Greg. Why don't you jump on here? Find me. Skeetsy with a Y on the end. Let's go, Greg. You want to throw down? I'll put some mileage in with your cadence. What's your cadence, Greg?
Yeah.
What's your cadence? Tell me what's your cadence.
46. Turned it down a little bit. Apparently it was a little high at 50.
Hashtag no ducks. Jump on in on the Peloton hashtag.
Okay, another game that we can touch on here. Joel Embiid goes for over 30 points again. 76ers beat the Rockets 111-91. Now I'll get us started here. This is what I was thinking, guys. I got bad news, actually.
Uh-oh.
Because the restaurant that our MVP table is located in, it's over capacity. Fire marshals have been called.
Wow.
Too many people in this restaurant. Now, there's five people at the MVP table, but as we've talked about, there's many other people at the bar, walking in, hanging out in the corner, some playing darts.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid is in there. This is my point. He has to be in the MVP restaurant. He may not be at the table yet. According to Basketball References MVP award tracker, he's not even there. He hasn't got the invite to this restaurant, to this dinner, but he should be. Because, Trey, I think you alluded to it earlier, this guy's on a tear. I mean, seven straight games, 30 points or more. He is living at the free throw line where he's knocking them down, Lee. You love to see it as a big guy.
Yeah.
And I truthfully believe, like, he's easily a top 10 MVP candidate. Now, I know he's hasn't played as many games as some of the other guys, because of injury early on, then COVID for a couple weeks, but holy crap, this guy is something special.
He is, and you remember early in the season against the Knicks, he looked out of shape, didn't shoot the ball, his conditioning looked off. What I've noticed recently about him, he's looking really, really agile out there and moving.
He leads the league in clutch points.
Yeah.
So that means conditioning, exactly. Obviously dominating.
And I think just looking at him, he's trimmed down. He's lost a few extra pounds out there too because he's looking a little slimmer. And I think that's just important. Last night, again, they should easily beat Houston, and they did.
Yeah.
But he did dominate. He was clearly the best player on the court there. And this is a good sign here for the Six. That's six in a row or seven now, is that with that last night victory?
Seven in a row.
Yeah, what's up, Basketball Reference? I know you haven't updated your site yet
what's
today.
What's going on?
Slacking.
Not like me.
Not like you. Maybe they're busy on the Peloton. I don't know what it is. We got to go to the AP recaps to get our dumb trivia here. Joel Embiid became the second player in NBA history to score exactly 31 points in four straight games, put it on his Hall of Fame placard. Who was the first player to score exactly 31 in four games?
Bob McAdoo.
You're Bob McAdoo. Damn right it was. Okay, cool.
What a weird stat.
Yeah, November 73. Great times, right, Lee?
I mean, who is finding? I mean, how are you finding out that stat? And then
somebody noticed. Somebody said, "Whoa, he scored 31."
Exactly. Someone who was following the league back in '73 was like, "Hey, that reminds me.
reminds me of the Bob McAdoo." Yeah.
They must have found it on Basketball Reference. I guess Basketball Reference hasn't updated their site since 1973.
Right. I mean, again, though, Lee, back to the legit case that he's making Embiid is for to be included in the MVP restaurant. Again, whether he's at the table with, you know, Giannis, Jokic, Curry, Durant, and then we've debated who the fifth is. Is it DeRozan? I know Trey thinks it should be. A lot of people think it should be John Morant. That's fair right now. But Embiid is, I mean, he's top 10. I can't believe they haven't updated it to include him. And it must just be games played.
Yeah.
Which he's a couple behind, like, I think Morant and LeBron or something like that.
Yeah, and the Sixers have to keep winning for him to stay at the table, I believe. I think that does come into it at the end of the season,
I mean,
for sure.
Jokic is on a 500 team. Yeah, I know, he's amazing.
I know. I'm just saying. I think for Embiid, he, you know, without Simmons there, because they've at times looked a bit, you know, not great this year, Philadelphia. If they go on a big, long win streak or they just get sort of 15 games over 500, it's certainly going to strengthen his case, I believe, to get there. And, you know, this thing, this is the most open, I think, the MVP race has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of guys have had different, you know, cases throughout the season, and Embiid is making his best case right now.
Yeah. Let me fire up another class here before we get to your tasks and your comments on the game. Maybe a little hip-hop ride?
Yeah.
With Hannah?
Yeah.
Hannah looks fun. Let's go, Hannah. I don't need to preview this. Look at this. Start now. Let's go. Okay. In my third class here of the show. And, man, how many times do you have to press start on this thing?
One more start.
All right, Hannah. Here we go. Sorry, Tess.
Don't worry about me. Let's focus on Hannah and what's happening here. Hannah's taking us through the class. All right, we're going to have two intervals, a couple of hills that we're going through.
Really?
And then, yes, you just do your pace. We've got a lot of workarounds if you need to. You don't have to go as fast as me, even though I'll be going super fast. I've done this a million times.
Hey, this is a weird question.
Yeah, okay.
Only because I was like going through the interface before we started here. I saw a woman who looked ridiculously, what's the word I'm looking for? Not famous, that's somebody that I know.
Okay.
Familiar.
Familiar, thank you. I need more water. Somebody looked really familiar. Uh-huh. And I think it's the woman that does, I think it's the Nets.
Oh, Ali Love?
Ali Love, and she did an All-Star Weekend once, right?
She's a Peloton instructor.
Yeah! Shout out to Ali.
Yeah.
Look at you and I both. Peloton people, NBA people.
Got Jess Sims as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Liberty in-game host.
Anyway, cool
story.
It's not
a thing. It's not like you have to be an in-game host to be a Peloton instructor.
No.
But it's happened.
It helps.
There's some cry. It helps. You want to jump.
Do you have any final thoughts on Embiid, the Sixers, that game?
Nah.
Okay, well, let me hit with the other games last. Because I know people get upset if we just don't mention at the very least all the games.
Said.
Okay, four other games. RJ Barrett scored 31. Knicks pulled away to beat the Spurs 111-96. Pistons stunned the Jazz behind Cade Cunningham's career night. That was huge. Cavs held off a late rally. They sent the Kings to their fifth straight loss. And with no Harden, the Blazers and Simons having another great game, down the Nets 114-108. Lee, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to the Pistons game because the Jazz are without Rudy Gobert and Rudy Gay and Joe Ingles right now. So other than that, you would think, okay, that's a pretty comfortable victory here for the Jazz. Started off great, had a 22-point lead. Kate Cunningham, you mentioned his career high, 29 points. I had 18 in the third. And this, I've been watching him, and it's like he's reminding me of someone. I'm not sure who it was until last night. I think he's got some Damian Lillard vibes to him. I like the way that he's controlled. I like the way he's got the stop-start to his game. He can get inside. He can penetrate. He doesn't rush his game. And he can step back and hit the three. And I think he's got that sort of... He's not an emotional guy. He's not like, you know, like really pumped up. He just goes out there and gets the job done. As I say, that third quarter, he was really, really good last night. And this is a blown loss here for the Jazz. They needed a victory. Again, everyone's struggling with in terms of players missing time right now. Jazz should have won this, and they didn't. Kay Cunningham was the best player on the court last night, and he's having a good season. I know we've sort of debated, you know, where he is in the Rookie of the Year table. He's obviously at the table, but a performance like last night will certainly get him ordering from the wine menu, I think.
Well, because, this is why I stuck with the Pistons taking Cade Cunningham number one if you were to do a redraft, because the potential's there. The guy is, he's really good.
Yeah.
That's not to take anything away from Mobley and Barnes and stuff like that, but I think Detroit would... Like, again, if they... Hold on.
Who's that?
Who's getting a call?
It's not me.
Is this guy okay? He's been on the telephone for 90 minutes. Just checking in on him. But yeah, that's why I think the Pistons would actually still take Kate number one. And I think that would be the right pick. I do believe that.
He was scorching last night. It was fun to watch. 29 points, 8 assists, and the 5 threes were the big part. You mentioned, Lee, that he's so comfortable taking that three. And yeah, he plays at his own pace. So I can see the Damian Lillard comparisons. And I can see why people were questioning his athleticism, quote-unquote athleticism, as the number one pick. Was he able to get to the rim whenever he wants? But it's Luka-like. It's Damian Lillard-like.
He's in
I'm
going to
get my space. Yep. And yeah, I don't look faster than everybody, but he is comfortable taking threes in anyone's eye right now, even as a rook, even though he missed a good chunk to start the season. So that was super impressive. Another guy who's developing a three-point shot, DeJounte Murray, in that Knicks game. I know the Knicks pulled it out, but DeJounte Murray is starting to take some pudgets, some pull-up jumpers in transition, the three balls in transition. If he can add that, then that's scary. And
pudgets.
Pudgets.
You never heard pudget?
Yeah, I've heard it. I just haven't heard it sort
here,
of
used. Here, put your head here. You can get a pudget real quick. No. Come here. I'll give you a pudget.
I just haven't heard it used in conversation like that.
It's a more a see it to believe it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Watch this freaking team. I know they just beat the Kings, but that's the type of game on a back-to-back. They just lost to the Warriors. They had to travel to Sacramento. That a young team should lose. But Bernie Bickerstaff.
Well, they tried their best.
They did. They were up big, and the Kings came back, and they almost lost at the end there. But I liked Evan Mobley, even though he didn't have a huge game. He hit two big buckets at the end. Played 42 minutes for this team. An incredible rook there, showing his poise. And I think this team here now at the midway point, they're 23-18 now at the 41-game mark. Bernie Bickerstaff. Coach Bernie said after the game, these are the type of games that we're going to need to win, the type of effort we need throughout 48 minutes down the stretch. Bernie is already talking about down the stretch, Bernie, baby. This right. ain't a weekend at Bernie's where you can just chill out. You got to be ready to play.
I feel dead.
I think he just has the playoffs in mind. I think that is quite clear. And so I am a believer, even though the Cavs have had a rocky sort of month or so with all the guys out, I still believe that they can make the postseason.
I gotta say, this doesn't feel good for my confidence. I'm in my third class here. I'm obviously tiring, but I'm neck and neck with a woman whose hashtag is grandmother of 17. I mean, I was. I think she just jumped off the screen there.
She just ran away, rode away into the sun.
Jesus, man, that'll humble you real quick, Darlie.
Yeah.
Respect to grandma. Go get Gima.
This is Grandma Lena, maybe.
Oh, yeah. It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. Any other thoughts on any of these other games from last night? It wasn't the craziest schedule. Or do you have thoughts on the dogs? Bama. Roll Tide. More like roll over and die. Am I right?
Got him.
Yeah. Any thoughts? No, okay, let's take a break.
No
when we come back, I got some trivia in the tweet of the night, so don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I
did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Lee, I sort of look like, well, let's be honest, in this helmet, I look like a penis head.
Yeah.
So I will now reenact my man Trey taking Roman, okay?
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Gulp, gulp, gulp.
He's up. He's risen. Yeah.
This man is Roman ready.
Okay. I'm glad the water just went in and not out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I should have spit it out. Very funny. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Hey, I know what you're wondering out there, Jay. Are these guys comedians?
We have got that comment again today.
I know. It makes me laugh every time. All right. This is a really weird tweet of the night because it got me on this fun trivia question. It's from at MBL267_NFT. That's Michael in the Top Shot world.
Hey, buddy.
What's up? Club Top Shot going up on a Tuesday, actually, probably tonight. Anyway, the question was, anyone know who has the longest name by total characters, junior and all, on Top Shot? And I saw that at Bamboo Rastafari, he replied with the list. So I thought I could put you guys to the test here. Can you name what is, I'm going to say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players in the league, at least 7 play. The 8th one might be a run it back. But anyway, 7 or 8 players with the longest names in the league. The opposite of what I do at night, thinking of the shortest names in the league. So,
but you,
how about it?
The names on Top Shot.
Don't worry about that. They're
just
the
okay. Yeah. Well, Giannis.
Okay, so he's actually 21 letters in length, and that puts him last of the... tied with one other, but there are people with longer.
You just reminded me, because you said Giannis, Thanasis is a little bit 22. Of a longer Antetokounmpo.
22. Ooh, well done. Well done, but there are more.
Wow, this junior thing is really...
No, I'm going to tell you.
I got to bow out. I got to bow out. I saw the tweet. Okay. I saw the tweet.
So no juniors.
No juniors, actually.
Okay. Seniors?
No. you got to think hyphenated.
Gilgeous Alexander. Shigilgeous Alexander.
What's his name? Can you say his
name? Shigilgeous.
You say it so weird.
Say the man's name.
SGA, 23 letters, so he's tied for second.
And Carl his Anthony cousin, Nikolai.
got the right
Nikhil.
Guy.
Nikhil.
Say his full name.
Yeah, Nikhil Alexander Walker.
There you go, 24 letters. He's tied with one other guy.
He's the top. Mm.
Yeah.
Think of hyphenated.
Yeah.
You gotta keep it hyphenated.
you know, look, he played for the Lakers.
Talen Horton Tucker.
No, not long enough.
He played for the Lakers and the Pistons.
Trivia was a bad idea on a show where I'm just peddling.
I know the answers.
Take your time.
I'm
talking about it. Think it out.
He played for the Lakers, and we can get this. Yeah. The Lakers.
Jerome Robinson Earl.
Well, yes, he is. He's on the list. He has 22, though. He's tied with
nice dasher right there.
You've got two more current players, and then another guy that I don't think is in the league, but I can never remember. But anyway, we'll get to him when we get to that.
Let's get back to that Lakers Pistons guy.
Yeah.
Is he active?
Yeah.
Is he as active as you on the Pelicans?
Dumbuya?
No. How can I give this to you? Well, one of his hyphenated names, the last part of his name, it's only 4 letters. So that's probably throwing you for a loop.
He's got some of the best misses in the game.
Yeah.
We talked about him recently. He's been off the bottom of the backboard, off the top of the backboard.
KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
There you go, 24 letters.
Name. Nice one.
You got 2 more guys. He's one guy.
Go Dogs for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He plays for the Warriors, this guy. 21 letters, same as Giannis. And
Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Yeah, nice there you one. Go. Yeah. Final one. Trey, does he play in the league anymore?
unsure.
Okay.
Unsure.
He won an award once, which was controversial.
The Lady Bing? What award would he win that's controversial?
Yeah, I guess it was sort of controversial. I don't know.
Rookie
of the Year?
Yes.
All of these guys are long names shortened to 3 letters.
Michael Carter Williams.
Hey! Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
Nice.
There you go. So the list is Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Michael Carter-Williams, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, Juan, Toscano, Anderson, and then Giannis. Good stuff.
That's fun.
Thanks for playing.
Did you see the short names?
I did. JT Thor.
JT Thor, Bol Bol, the two shortest names in the game right now. I personally don't count JT Thor. It seems to be an abbreviation.
True. So Bol Bol.
Got to be.
Counts. Okay. Pick'em results from last night. It was the Bucks Hornets game. Milwaukee was favored by 2.5. This brought to you by BetMGM, of course. Your boy swerved. And it worked out for me. I was the only one to take the Hornets because I didn't want all four of us taking Milwaukee. I originally was going to. And it worked because they got the victory. LaMelo Ball with that crazy shot like you guys talked about. So I'm 4-2. That's a loss for everybody else. Trey's 3-3. Tass and Lee are 2-4. Tass, what's tonight's game?
Oh, we got a doozy tonight. Golden State Warriors visiting the Memphis Grizzlies, who have won 9 games in a row. And it's a very, very close line. The Grizzlies just 1.5 point go dogs at home. So the Warriors have to win by 2 points or more. People feeling the Grizzlies here. We got two, Skeets and Lee taking Memphis, myself and Trey taking Golden State. I just looked up Ja Morant's record against the Warriors. A decent 4-4 in 8 games played. That's pretty surprising considering Memphis the last few years. So here we go, Ja Morant versus Steph. I imagine should be suiting up. Yeah, of course he's suiting up. He should be feeling good. Grizzlies, Warriors, hello. Looking forward to that one tonight.
Very exciting stuff. All right. That's it for today's show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet at us at nodunksinc. Like the video. Comment away. Share the show. Subscribe. Come on. If this isn't worth a subscription, just fuck off at this point. Like, hey, what's the point of doing this? Like, just subscribe already. And JD, good stuff setting this up. This wasn't easy here with the Peloton and the mic. Yeah,
thank you.
And he got me wired. He actually came mid-show and gave me a water assist.
Replacement bottle.
That was smooth. Nice.
Shout out to Rachel, who actually brought it to us. But
Rachel brought it in. It was like a relay there.
Yeah.
Rachel, to you, to me. So thanks for setting this up.
How's your class going, by the way?
Yeah, I'm coming up to the end of my third class with Hannah.
Maybe we should
hold on, some high fives.
Yeah, high fives. Yeah. Please. Yeah. I want to high five you, so this feels good. High five. You can scroll, get us another couple high fives.
High five.
Stay on that bike. Yeah, you're clipped in. You're not going to fall.
Long reach. All right, so one pick 'em payoff done for me. I still have two more to go, and Tass has one as well. So, we'll start picking those off like we're picking off Peloton classes. All right, guys. Until tomorrow, Clipper Rose. Clipper JD, don't do this.
Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thank you for joining us for this pick and payoff. And as Skeet said, this has got to be worth a Peloton of subscriptions. Sub, would you? Great job, Skeet.
Come on, Hannah, let's go! Okay, I'm cramping.
You stood up. That's great.